Right now, we are joined on the phone by Aaron Nelson, who heads up the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough, carolinachamber.org, for more on them, for an update on the economic state of things here in our local community as we all work to get through the COVID-19 crisis together. Aaron, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm grateful to be here. And again, I want to compliment the incredible work you and your team at the station are doing. We rely on the good information that you are sharing both online and live on the radio. And I just want to say a special thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all that you're doing as well, because I know we're the chamber, you and your staff are actively working with and talking to and helping out folks in the business community, and have been this whole time, and especially now. So what is the latest? What is the update that you can offer? I'll step back and let you talk for 15 minutes.
I think we're at the end of Act 1. So Act 1 was crisis response. How do we share the best information with our business community to help them prepare for this pandemic, right? Access to loans and grant information, helping them with choices about what to do with their employees, unemployment, how it works. So Act 1, this whole community was involved in crisis communication and crisis response, right? Schools, government. Act 2 is this weird space that we are in now. It is the next 4 or 5 weeks of generally still staying at home, a very quiet economy. And then Act 3 will be recovery. Act 3, when the curtain goes up on Act 3, the first thing we'll do as a community is figure out how to reopen. And I expect that we'll be reopening very slowly. And it will likely unwind in the way that we wound up. If it makes sense, you know, at first groups of 100, then you couldn't be in groups of 50, then groups of 10, then groups of 2. I imagine that we will expand back out in a similar way to how we contracted. And I think we'll authorize different types of uses in our economy also slowly. Maybe in a similar order to as we saw them as we contracted. But that will be the beginning of a very long recovery. We are expecting recovery to not be months, but to be years, economic recovery on this. But what's most important is in this Act 2, this sort of intermission between crisis response and recovery, is a good time to do planning. And so this is we will not reopen as a community in the same way that we were before. And so for the businesses out there and the employees of those businesses, it's a wonderful time to be innovative and creative and to make several different scenario plans about, you know, what is life like if you could be open in 4 weeks or 6 or 8? What is it like if our percent of online sales versus not? What is it like if my employees don't come back to work when I want them to? How do we re-onboard people? Mm-hmm. What is returning to work like? And let's not wait until the government tells us we can return to work before we plan that. My request to employers out there and to their talented employees is it's time now to be having those conversations with your team.
Have you seen local employers doing that? Have you seen good examples of businesses being innovative and really thinking about different plans for the future?
Yeah, there are some. Those are first movers that are having those conversations. Some organizations are already deciding that they won't be coming back to work for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. I believe Blue Cross Blue Shield made their announcement that their employees won't return at least through May. Our university will be making its choices known here shortly, and those will have huge economic impact. How will athletics work? The NCAA will make those decisions. But we are seeing some local employers beginning to form work groups amongst their staff to think about returning to work in our own organization. You know, hey, if we could all go back to work in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, would you want to? And it's not a universal answer, yes. So but it's time to check in with your employees and begin making those plans.
So I've got two different versions of this question, and one of them is the kind of the negative and the other is the positive. So I'll ask the negative question first. We recently heard about lots of Stone Fired Pizza closing and they're not going to be opening back up again. You've been out there speaking with business owners in our community. This is a rough time for everyone. what share of businesses out there are really having that serious conversation with themselves about, are we even going to be able to open back up again? How many lattes are there out there?
There are more. There were businesses that were on the brink of there were businesses struggling to succeed in the strong economy that we were in before, and that this will just be too much. Some have reached out for their payroll protection plan lending from the federal government or their economic injury loans that may carry them forward. But for some of them, the fundamental problems they had before will remain after this is over. And there's some organizations that were solid and sound with strong business plans that just don't work in a world in which people are not as physically close to each other, where 100 people aren't going to gather in a movie theater or for a play. You know, how is life like, you know, even when we're allowed to reexamine? Some of the numbers we have heard, and I've heard, a 20% of businesses don't survive this. That is not a number that I've estimated. I'm actually currently feeling pretty positive. It seems like, you know, it was a strong and robust economy. Business was good for many people in our community, and they had saved some, and they're going to make it another month or two, but not much longer than that. The length of time that this lasts will have increasing negative impact on the likelihood of business success. And then some key questions about whether UNC Athletics or simply campus reopening in the fall. There's some other big choices that will have additional impact. Our economy generally is late into recessions and early out of them. So, and that's because we are buoyed by substantial revenue from our university and our hospital, who make giant payroll investments in our community. And so long as those giant payroll investments continue, I think that we will be more resilient than most.
And then sort of going along with that, I know you reached out to folks in the business community asking for good news and success stories and positive stories. What have you heard along those lines?
There are, you know, some businesses have really adapted. I'll use some restaurants. Sir, we have talked to several restaurants. They set a goal, $2,000 a day in curbside service. That was the goal. They needed to sell $2,000 a day, and several restaurants are hitting that. Mm-hmm. And we were very pleased to hear it. Now, that's just enough to pay their existing staff and to pay rent. There are others for which this has, of course, been devastating, and that they're unable to do that level of service, or they are uncomfortable with their staff being in that proximity in the kitchen. So have chosen not to be open at this time. Other good news that we are hearing is from some businesses that are finding their products are incredibly well needed at this time. Hardware stores, grocery stores, people providing services that support people at home. Business has been good.
Speaking with Aaron Nelson again, carolinachamber.org for more on the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough. A lot of work they're doing every day to help the local business community and to connect businesses with resources that are available to help folks through COVID-19. What resources are out there in terms of federal support, local support? I know the General Assembly is coming back to session in a day. We're going to get some bills being passed there. What are you looking to see as far as that goes?
I got a briefing today from the Speaker of the House, a North Carolina Speaker of the House, about a host of things that they intend to do to help support our state and its economy and the economy's ability to hire back people. So I think there'll be additional grant and loan funds given to the Golden Leaf Foundation. A number of $75 million was mentioned. They intend to continue to support our universities and their tremendous research arm that may solve this problem. They'll be helping fund our K-12 as we've pivoted to online learning, and additional resources that are needed to support the students at home through that process. And they will be making it easier, and sometimes simple things like if your driver's license expires or your cosmetology permit expires or anything for which you need a permit from the state, we expect that they'll create a 90-day grace period or maybe even longer before you'll need to get that renewed. Lots of resources are available on the Chamber's website, where we curate a Get the Answers button on the COVID sort of section of our site, where you can find out information about the PPP funding that has been restored today. But it's time to really make application today or tomorrow. This is the few days to do that. Economic injury loans got a whole lot more money from the federal government, but we heard today that the application portal may not open again. It could be that the amount of applications that were received in the first application period will be all that is allowed, it's oversubscribed already. So I'm uncertain on the what's called the EIDL loan and whether that application portal will open. Let me ask to everybody out there, so for the business community, we've got some strong resources. Really reach out to your chamber. Lots of regular meetings and check-ins where business people can see each other on Zoom and ask questions and partner and collaborate. But to the broader community, it is our nonprofits that are in desperate need of your help and support. And if your federal stimulus check that came to you, you are well enough off that you didn't need those funds and you could choose to reinvest that. And we'd like to ask you to do that, particularly the organizations that are feeding people, mm-hmm. particularly organizations that are supporting people in times of conflict. This stay-at-home order has led to spikes in domestic violence and the need for people to find safe places to shelter. This is a very caring community. We don't get to see each other very much right now, but I'd ask everybody to really be thinking about the organizations that are caring for our most vulnerable and our most in crisis and consider investing in them right now.
Speaking with Aaron Nelson again, carolinachamber.org. And as we wrap up, other things that we ought to do in the community or other things that folks in the community can do to help each other through this?
I think it's time, sharing of good news. Let's ask for what we need. Let's be clear. So if you're a business, you should be asking for the business, reaching out to your customers, asking them to do business with you, and then earning their support with great service and great products. But all of us, though, just be sharing good news. This has been really tough, and we have weeks to go. And reaching out to each other and offering help and support, checking in on your neighbors, seeing what relief you can provide to the parent who is having to figure out how to teach at home and work at home. But let's just be looking out for each other.
CarolinaChamber.org for more information on the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Aaron Nelson, as always, thank you so much for being here and for all you're doing.